Let's talk some more football. We're joined right now by a senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, co-host of You Pod to Win the Game podcast, good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Dude, how you holding up? How are things? What's going on?
Doing well, brother. How you doing?
Feel great. What's top of your mind? Like, don't get me wrong. I've got 15 things I want to ask you about, but what is top of your mind right now? What are you thinking about?
I'm wondering what Tom Brady's going to do.
There you go.
I know Purdy, it's supposed to be a six-month layoff, and I can only tell you after seeing the Niners in back-to-back games and having conversations, I don't see them being sold on, you know, Trey Lance. I think this was headed for an open quarterback competition, and, you know, I think if Purdy is someone who's healthy and they know that right now, they're like, hey, he's healthy, he's going to be there, it's going to be an open quarterback competition when camp opens up. But now with this six-month layoff, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, let's see what this actually looks like. And Tom Brady sitting there and going, okay, am I going to retire? Or, you know, really the realistic option is returning back to Tampa with an offensive staff reboot, try to get everybody healthy, tweak the roster a little bit, and, you know, try to finish your career on a better note. I wonder if the 49ers picked up the phone and just said, you know, Tom, okay, you're a free agent now. Free agency's opened. What do you think? Any shot you'd want to run it here? I wonder if Brady might not take that opportunity if the Niners are willing to pick up the phone. I think he would.
I mean, to that point, Charles, you tell me. Give me one reason. If you're Tom Brady, is there any reason other than financial reasons? And even then, is there one single reason why he wouldn't do that? It makes perfect sense from his standpoint, right?
His kids are in Miami, you know. I think regionally, you talk to everyone who's kind of tuned into it. He really wants to be. I think if he had everything he wanted, he would be able to play in Miami next season. I don't think that's clearly not on the table. The Dolphins are giving every indication that they're all in on Tua. You know, this whole idea that he's still in the concussion protocol, I think it's just being extremely conservative right now, but they're moving forward with Tua. Tom's not going to have that opportunity to be there. The closest destination is staying in Tampa. So, you know, I think family considerations, wanting to be near his kids. But I think if it was like, if he resolved in his mind that this is it, 2023 is it, I'm done. I can't get out of my mind, you know, when I went through Levi's Stadium and I'd walk past, you know, kind of that the maintenance area where there was the clip of Tom when he stopped, because they have all the 49ers greats, like the photos on the wall, and Tom was taking a picture of it with his phone. I can't get that out of my mind. I feel like if the Niners made that call, that Tom would really have to consider wrapping it in San Francisco in 2023.
Charles Robinson joining us. One last thought on that. If you're Kyle Shanahan, who is your top choice?
Well, I mean, given what you're moving forward with, I mean, if Purdy's healthy, I think the way this would have gone, even if they had lost, let's say they lose the NFC title game, but Purdy doesn't get injured, and he plays on, you know, at a level that's, you know, similar to what we've seen in the run since he becomes starter. I think what the 49ers probably would have done was they would have said, we're going to have some competition. Let's see how the off-season passing program goes. But you know, we're not going to name anybody a Hammerlock starter for 2023. We got, you know, two guys here. Let's see what happens between them. But I think if they were being honest, I think Purdy would have been the starter, the presumed starter, who is going to win that job. Once again, given what they've seen and how he operated. The thing about Brock Purdy that I don't think people appreciate enough when they compare him to Trey Lance is, like, since he's come in, he operated that offense exactly how Kyle Shanahan wanted operated. He did what Kyle wanted. The wrinkles that they needed to have in there were possible with him. I think it was just, it was what Kyle wanted. He wanted some simplicity, and Purdy gave him that. So I think between those two guys, I think Purdy would have been the one who, you know, had the heads up for the starting job. But now I think that injury, that's what's so intriguing to me. The injury and the layoff, him not being a part of the offseason passing program, You know, Trey Lance, I wonder if, you know, Tennessee, this Rand Carthon getting that general manager job, does he pick up the phone and call John Lynch and Kyle and just say, hey, you know, do you want to trade Trey? Like, what, you know, what if you're willing to listen, you know, what's the compensation you're looking at? Here's the crazy thing about Trey Lance, though. I don't think you could get more than a third-round pick.
Right.
At the stage. I mean, there's nothing there.
I was going to say, what's the trade market for Trey Lance? And then, Charles, where does this leave Jimmy G? Like, there's no way he stays there, right?
Yeah, I don't. No, I don't. I'd be stunned if Jimmy didn't have options. You know, here's the crazy thing is when you look at the league, and now when you add Purdy's injury into it, I think you legitimately could look at half of the NFL. I'm not kidding. I'm not being like hyperbolic here. You could run your finger down the entire league and find 16 quarterback situations that are up in the air in one way or another. Now that includes, you know, Geno Smith in Seattle. Hey, he doesn't have a contract right now. You're going to have to tag him if you don't work out a deal. That includes Lamar Jackson, another situation where you're going to have to tag him. So it includes those guys as well. But again, you could, I'm not kidding. Go down the list in the NFL. If you're listening, you're going to find 16 NFL teams where you're not quite sure right now, January 31st, what is absolutely going to happen at quarterback with that team in 2023.
It's pretty amazing. Charles Robinson, and I agree with you, is joining us right now. I agree with you. If you look at it that way, that is true. So what about Aaron Rodgers? Could it be that he is parting ways with Green Bay? And then if so, what does the trade market look like for him?
I think it's absolutely possible. And I said this in December. I was like, look, when you look at the roster and you look at the pieces that are there, the guys that he's close to, they're on the wrong side of 30. From a salary standpoint, if the Packers were to, you know, continue on with that class, it would probably be at a reduced salary clip, one-year deals, just a short-term, like kind of last breath with these guys. And I also don't think that's really what the Packers, you know, front office wants to do. I think they want to continue on with the youth movement. Like when you look at the wide receiver position, I think the Packers are like, okay, well now we kind of know we have some tools to work with there. Where else on the roster are we ready to start to look at some younger pieces? And I, you know, Aaron Rodgers was clear after the season was over where he was like, hey, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. He's seeing that, hey, a lot of guys I'm close to are up, and I think that's what has opened this door to the possibility that he's like, hey, if you're going to go in that direction, and they're going to trigger the fifth-year option on Jordan Love, so he's going to know by May. That's when that's going to happen. In May, they're going to trigger the fifth-year option on Jordan Love, which means 2023 is it, because you're not paying Jordan Love $20 million in 2024 to not play that guy, right? You're not – like, this is it. So you're telling Aaron Rodgers in May it's over after 2023. I think the Jets, you know, have to consider it. They have to kick it around. Clearly ownership, I think, would be interested. Woody Johnson is going to try to be aggressive about working with Joe Douglas, the general manager, to address bringing in a veteran who can be a steady influence at least through the 2023 season. I think that puts Rodgers there. I would look Rodgers in San Francisco. If you're going to make a call, if you're going to pick up the phone and go, is there anybody available? I think, you know, Rodgers would have to be on the list for San Francisco too. But as you asked, there's draft compensation. I don't know that you get two first round picks out of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know about that. Maybe a first and some additions. I can't believe the Jets would ever give up two first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. Remember when the Jets were in the Tyreek Hill trade talks, they offered a package that when you added it up, it didn't include a first round pick, but when you added it all up, the value was a first round pick. But you could see they were trying to get to that point as cheaply as possible. If Rodgers is realistically in play there, I don't see them giving up two first round picks. One.
Charles Robinson is joining us. You know, I want to ask you about Jordan Love, but I want to be careful with our time together. What about the Super Bowl? We've got plenty of time to talk about this, but I'm curious, what is the most interesting thing to you about the Eagle-Chief matchup, and what is your early lean in this game?
Well, I mean, quarterbacks, neither guy's healthy. I mean, I was there in Philly, you know, watch Jalen Hurts. I don't think he's quite, we're not going to find out exactly where his health is at. It'll be a month after the Super Bowl when we find out exactly how healthy he is. But when you watched, you were like, everything outside the hash is down the field. You know, Devonta Smith makes that unbelievable catch, but it was a circus catch that wasn't even a catch. But, I mean, the only reason it was even a possibility was because he did something insane. I think Hurts is having some problems throwing deep down the field with some accuracy, and I think that's because of his health right now. So to me, I, if you ask me how does this game ultimately play out, I think, you know, both defenses I think are fine. They're going to impact the game, but I think it's, you know, which quarterback shows up looking the best. Mahomes, given how he looked after a short period, I think give him another 2 weeks, he's going to look even closer to full health. But those are the two that I think are really interesting, particularly Hurts when you consider this is a guy you got to start contract negotiations this offseason. They win the Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts, probably starting your APY number, average per year, $50 million with Jalen Hurts. That's where those conversations that his agent would probably want to start there.
Yeah, I would if I represented him, but I think you're right. Like I've got nothing but immense and mad respect for Jalen Hurts, the way he works, the way he carries himself, everything about the guy, but he doesn't look right now like the guy, not like he did earlier this year, because frankly, I mean, he's got to be hurt, right? He did not play that well, and probably because he's hurt, essentially because he's hurt. I agree with you. Let me ask you about this. Really, we're having this conversation before you go. Kellen Moore to the Chargers, I'm changing topics completely. He's kind of curious to me, like hyperbole, sure, but who fired whom? Did he fire Mike McCarthy, or did Mike McCarthy fire him?
Oh, come on! I mean, they're gonna do the whole
mutually
contract.
Yeah.
We just didn't renew the contract. That's a firing. This is just the NFL teams finesse it. Well, we just didn't renew the deal. Mutual. No, it's a firing. Like when a team doesn't renew a deal, it is a firing. So I think Mike, ever since Mike took that job, there's always been the overhead, you know, question of like, when is Mike eventually going to make a play for play call, you know, just to call the offense. And I think he's wanted to do that. There hasn't been the opportunity. Now there is. And for Kellen, I think he sits there and goes, okay, what's the quickest path to being a head coach in the NFL right now? Well, it is the OC position, working with a great quarterback. If I can't work with Dak, well, Justin Herbert could probably get me that coaching job at some point. So I can see, look, it works out perfectly, I think, for the Chargers, and it works out perfectly for Kellen, but come on, man. They'll deny it, and Michael dance around it, and they'll play word games, but when you don't renew a contract, it's a firing, and it's because Mike's ready to call that scheme. So
what does Mike tell Jarrah? Well, how does Mike tell Jarrah, listen, Jerry, we are so much better served with me calling the plays than Kellen Moore, and here's why. Like, how would that conversation go?
I think it's because when you look at Dallas's offense, tell me what their identity was. You can't, because it seemed like it changed like all the time. Like, okay, well, they can, you know, oh, it looks like a pass-driven team. No, there are times where it looked like a run-driven team. They just never found a very singular identity for what they were, right? Look at the two teams that are now in the postseason right now. The Philadelphia Eagles, let's not kid ourselves. At the end of the day, when they're playing their best football, we know what their identity is. It's Jalen Hurts. I mean, being the centerpiece of that offense and dictating how they run it, how they throw it. Mahomes is the centerpiece of Kansas City's offense. There's no question what they are. Dallas, it changed constantly. I think that was problematic. And then I think ultimately, you know, Mike says, show me the growth. What growth did Dak Prescott have in 2022? And why would that not bother you that it did not appear he had a growth year in 2022 at quarterback?
I was going to say, like, why, if Jalen Hurts very clearly is the identity and Patrick Mahomes very clearly is the identity, how is the $160 million man Dak not the identity?
You paid a running back? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you paid a ton of money to a running back. You know, you had Tony Pollard, who was amazing, you know, great 1-2 punch. Took him way too long to implement Tony Pollard in that offense in the way that he should have been the centerpiece. Not only at the start of this season, but I think really going back into last season, like I get it. You know what Zeke brings to the table, plus you know the financial realities of his contract. But you play with the guys who offer you the most dynamic opportunity to make big plays. That was always Tony Pollard. They slept on him way too long. Offense changed the second he got hurt in the postseason. You know, it just – I, I think that I'm with you. I think that Dak probably is the centerpiece of that team, should be. But again, when they tried to make him the centerpiece at times this season, he turned the ball over. I don't think the passing game was as dynamic as it could be. Michael Gallup, you paid him a bunch of money. Doesn't look like a number two receiver right now. That's problematic. There are plenty of problems for Mike McCarthy to point to and say, look, just hand it over to me. I'll fix it.
Fair enough. So final thought, if Kellen Moore is exactly what you're saying, and I know then why he would go right to the Chargers, he gets Justin Herbert, but what are the Chargers getting in Moore? Like, in your opinion, is he a guy that can help get them over the hump?
I don't know. It remains to be seen because, look, the Chargers, what are you going to do with Austin Eckler, right? I mean, because they kind of have a similar situation where they have a running back who can be an A1 dominant back who can be a, you know, an all-pro level guy. You could streamline a lot of that offense through the running game, but you then have the dynamic quarterback who could be Mahomes, he could be Josh Allen, he could be any one of these quarterbacks that at times we complain that they play hero ball and that the entire offense runs through them. This is how he's now got to define himself, because I think if you look back at Dallas, ultimately, you know, it was an offense that never quite met expectations. I don't know if you look at the Dallas experience and say, well, Kellen Moore comes out of that looking like a failure. I wouldn't say that. But I would say that the arrow is flat, it's not pointed up, so he's got to change that. And you know, to me, that means taking Herbert, you know, to the next level as a quarterback, someone that, you know, when we talk about Mahomes, when we talk about Burrow, Herbert injects himself into that conversation. And it's just going to take some consistency. And like any OC in the NFL right now, you're going to have to show that you can call a creative game and score a heck of a lot of points. Look in Detroit. There was a reason why the Detroit Lions failed to meet the playoffs, but their coordinator was one of the hotter names in coaching searches this year because he was creative and they scored a lot of points with Jared Goff.
Listen, I've never been more greedy with your time than I am right now. I feel a bit bad even saying this, but like, I agree with you. I'm not in any way defending Kellen Moore as the next big thing and a surefire head coaching candidate, but I'm trying to think of what quarterback Mike McCarthy has ever actually developed, because we know he doesn't get any credit for Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, right.
So, what incredible work has he done with a quarterback? I'm not pointing that at you. I'm just saying overall.
I'm not disagreeing with you. It's because, you know, his entire resume in Green Bay was swallowed up by the totality of Aaron Rodgers' career. And, you know, no one's really going to give him a ton of credit, you know, for that. He won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, look, Sean Payton, the totality of his career in New Orleans was, what, sunk into Drew Brees. And then the second Drew Brees was gone, you could see why Sean was like, I can see the writing on the wall where this is going. It's better to step out a year early than late and retain, you know, this reputation I have as being a brilliant offensive mind. Well, I mean, you could make the same argument about Sean as you can about Mike and Aaron Rodgers. But that's what makes this so important for Mike. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's why when you're Mike, you go, I got to be at the controls here, because if I ultimately end up getting fired over this whole thing, I better be calling the game myself. I'm going to get fired over what I'm doing, my work product, and not necessarily what this OC that, by the way, Jerry stuck me with. And I say that it wasn't like Mike was kicking and screaming, but at the start, Jerry made it clear Kellen Moore is going to be your offensive coordinator when Mike McCarthy took that job. So to me, this has just been a slow transition in progress, and Mike got his opportunity to make the move now, largely because Dak just had a subpar season. But I completely agree with you. This is going to be an important part of Mike McCarthy's resume, what he can do with Dak and how that will look different than what Kellen did.
No doubt. It's going to be fascinating. We know they did not mutually part ways. He is the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He is co-host of You Pot to Win the Game podcast, good friend of the program. And I was greedy, brother. Sorry I kept you so long, but it was so good. Charles, great having you on. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. We'll talk next week, Super Bowl week.
Yeah, baby, that's what I'm saying. Charles Robinson, I like that back-to-back. You know, the point that he made about Mike McCarthy is so true, right? Like, if McCarthy's going down, he's going down calling his own plays. You know, that part about Sean Payton thinking, seeing the writing on the wall, like, I better get out of here because I've got this reputation as an offensive mastermind, an offensive genius, and it's going to take a hit if the offense goes down and the play is not as solid. Thing is, when McCarthy left, Aaron Rodgers continued to play incredible football. Some of the best football ever played.